Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, rather not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us a Senator Michelle Bachmann, and she's a state senator up there in the great state of Minnesota, and we're going to be talking about what's happening to education in her area and really across the world. Senator Bachmann, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Monteith. I'm a big fan.
Well, this first time we've had a chance to talk for some while, and tell us, you are actually a lawyer, aren't you?
I am. I'm a lawyer, and I have a postdoctorate degree in tax law. I've spent the bulk of my career litigating cases, both civil and criminal, in the federal tax court.
All right, fine. And, of course, now you're a senator, and is that pretty much of a full-time job?
Well, it takes more work than one would think, actually, and right now we're full-time. We're in session.
All right, fine. So why don't you tell us what motivated you to give up a successful career in law to go to the state senate up there, and what do you hope to be able to accomplish?
Well, actually, Dr. Monteith, my concern was with education. I am a graduate of public schools, and my husband and I have 5 of our biological children. We've had over 20 foster children live in our home. And I started hearing in 1998 that Minnesota was implementing a brand new education system. And I heard some things that sounded kind of bizarre with it. And so, being a lawyer, I took a look at the contract between the state of Minnesota and the federal government. And that was our Goals 2000 contract. And then I started reading the School to Work contract. And that led me from one document to the next. I was horrified how our state's wonderful tradition of academic education had been actually hijacked by this new, almost you might say a fraud of education. And so I decided to start fighting it, and then eventually ran for the Senate and won.
Well, now, of course, we are told now that we have this new administration in, we have a program of No Child Left Behind. In fact, I had an opportunity of interviewing Governor Bush back in 1999 before he got the Republican nomination. I specifically asked him about outcome-based education. He said it was terrible. He opposed it. And yet it would appear that the law that we've put in is exactly the same thing. In other words, the Bush-Kennedy bill, or maybe it should be called the Ted Kennedy-Bush bill, really is, of course, the same thing all over again, except much worse.
Oh, it really is. That's exactly true. And that's not my opinion. That's not Dr. Monteith's opinion. That's what the individual who is in charge of putting Goals 2000 and School to Work in the first place says. A gentleman's name is Michael Cohen. And your listeners can go to the Aspen Institute website, aspeninstitute.org. In the search engine, type in Michael Cohen. And Michael Cohen was the Assistant Secretary for Education under President Bill Clinton. He was in charge of putting into place Goals 2000, School to Work, and he has a paper that he wrote for the Fordham Foundation that he gave in February of 2002. And he said himself that No Child Left Behind demands that Goals 2000 and School to Work requirements continue under No Child Left Behind. So we haven't skipped a beat. Outcome-based education is now the mandated law of the land in every local public school classroom in the United States.
We seem to be cutting out. You don't. Are you on a cell phone or?
I'm on a wireless.
Could you get a regular hard line, because right now you're cutting in and out, like the battery's going.
Okay, I'll be happy to switch.
Thank you. Go ahead
and talk, and I'll get on another phone.
Oh, I won't have any difficulty talking. Well, our this is Senator Michelle Bachmann, and of course, she's up there in Minnesota, really trying to let people understand what is going on. We have been sold a bill of goods. We really thought things were going to be different when we had a Republican administration in, but of course, the Republican administration pushed Ted Kennedy's program. And this is the greatest grab of power we've ever seen, federal power over education, which,
you know,
of course
I am so, can you hear me better now?
Yes,
Dr.
Oh, much better. Thank you.
You know, thank you for telling me about that. I just wanted to mention you are exactly right. Under No Child Left Behind, this is an unprecedented level of power grab, unlike anything we've seen in the history of our nation. It's egregious, and it's actually breathtaking, because now every state in the union, our number one budget item is education. In Minnesota, we spend 50% of our budget on education. 54% is spent in Arizona, and similar amounts in all 50 states across the country.
But we're not getting our money's worth. We're not getting a good education for our kids.
That's right. But the worst is that now, for the first time in the history of our nation, the federal government will call the shots on both education policy, which will in turn call the shots on the purse strings of our education budget. And this is ridiculous. I know in the state of Minnesota, the amount of money that we'll be receiving under Title I, which is No Child Left Behind, is $113 million. That's out of a $9 billion budget.
So why don't you just tell them to keep their money and then start cutting back on the whole system? Because, you know, it seems like the more money you spend, why the poorer the education.
Well, sure. The problem is we now have a Republican governor in our state who has said that he will take the federal money and we will do this program. And that's part of the problem. If our governor was willing to say no to the federal money, then, of course, that would be easy for us to do then as legislators. But our governor and our new education commissioner both said that we will take this federal money and we will comply.
Well, of course, is there any way that you can get the people up there to understand that he's betraying the children? Because the whole thrust of this is not reading, writing, arithmetic, facts, geography, mathematics. It's changing attitudes and values and beliefs.
Well, you're exactly right. As a matter of fact, our contract that we signed with the federal government to put into place Goals 2000 in the first place specifically said that we will base our state's education system on higher order thinking skills, which is teaching kids attitudes, values, and beliefs, not subject matter knowledge.
We're going to be back here in just a moment with Michelle Bachmann. Of course, we'll go ahead and welcome your calls from out across America. But right now, I just want to mention, if you feel tired, why, I wonder if you have ever considered taking Royal Jelly products. Be Alive Royal Jelly, I've taken it for 8 to 10 years. I can attest to the fact that it really does work. It's something that is a natural food substance. It's what the queen bee eats in the hives, and the poor little old worker bees, they just have honey and wax or whatever bees eat. And of course, they live about 6 weeks. The queen lives about 6 years, and she's much bigger and much stronger, and she doesn't get as tired as the poor old worker bees. If you'd like to try Be Alive Royal Jelly, it's an excellent product. It's available simply by calling 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500. It's sold with a money-back guarantee. Now, it's not that you're going to take it for a week and you're going to feel a lot better. You're going to have to take it for at least 3 months. And at the end of 3 months, if you do not feel considerably better, you can call them and they'll give you your money back. It's sold with a money-back guarantee. But very, very few people ever bother to call, because most people really love the product. In fact, they love all the products. There are all sorts of skin creams for women, and there are all sorts of echinacea and other vitamin products that they have. But their mainstay is Be Alive Royal Jelly products. If you call 866-233-7500, you'll find some of the best salespeople I've ever encountered. In fact, when I called them before we actually agreed to let them sponsor our programs, their pitch was so good that even though we've taken it for many years and had a good supply, I was almost tempted to take some more. Once again, the number is 866-233-7500, the product Be Alive Royal Jelly. And, of course, we want to remind you about Alamax, a natural garlic product. And so go ahead and call them at 866-405-4000. Let me tell you about some of the four tape sets we have. One special tape set is the Tuskegee Study, and it's four interviews with people who were involved with the Tuskegee Study, or at least who've gone into the background of this really most horrible of all American experimentation. We had the unique opportunity to interview a number of the men who were involved in analyzing the Tuskegee Study, a government-sponsored study where 400 black men were recruited, and they had syphilis, and of course, what they did not understand is that they were not being recruited to be treated, they were being recruited not to be treated, and the government agents did everything they could to block those men from receiving treatment for their syphilis. Call today at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's important that you understand that study so you can better understand the mentality of the men who are working behind the scenes in America today. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest is Senator Michelle Bachmann, and she's in the state senate up in Minnesota. Well, do the people up there, have you been able to make the senators or help the senators to understand what this is really all about?
Well, you know, this has been a remarkable election year, Dr. Monteith. We saw a huge change. You know, like I said, 4 years ago, I was a mother and an attorney, and I just found out about what was happening in our education system and ran for the Senate. Now, at that time, this was it. You know, every state was putting this into effect, Goals 2000, School to Work. In 4 years' time, we were able to make this the number one issue for reelection in Minnesota. And no Republican could get reelected unless they were willing to say they wanted to eliminate our state's education system called the Profile of Learning. So it's been very, very exciting.
All right, fine.
Now this year, we will be eliminating this bill, but just like you had mentioned that when President Bush came in, everyone thought everything was going to be great now and that outcome-based education was out, this is now our problem too. We have to make sure that what we replace our standards with will be truly academic and not based on Goals 2000.
All right, fine. So basically then, this will be actually discontinued even without the support of your governor, or how will this work?
Well, we're working with the governor's office right now. Next week, the bill will be introduced, and we're just in the process. I have an amendment that will make our new standards and our new testing truly academic, and we're trying to get that put on the bill. If it doesn't go on the bill, then we'll have to just start kicking and screaming and doing whatever we can to get attention so that we can let people know that some people aren't living up to their campaign promises.
Well, I think that it's so important that people understand how this works. And it really works because the federal government, first of all, gives money, and then it tests the children. And it tests the children to make sure that their brains have been altered, their perspective has been altered, their values and beliefs and attitudes has been altered. And, of course, if their attitudes and beliefs are not altered, it means, of course, you failed and you will be punished or withdraw your funds. They will get you if you do not go along with this. And this, of course, means that the federal government now determines what your child will believe.
That's right. And I don't think people fully appreciate that yet, Dr. Monteith, that now the federal government is calling the shots in your local child's classroom. This is something we've never had in the history of the United States before, and the testing mechanism that you referred to is the NAEP test, the nation's National Assessment of Educational Progress. And you, I'm sure, probably know this, that the Carnegie Foundation actually were the ones behind putting this Goals 2000 School to Work Workforce Investment Act system into place. They also own ETS out of Princeton, New Jersey, Educational Testing Service, which runs the NAEP test. So it's a perfect circle. The Carnegie Foundation put this system into place, and they also control the testing to which every single school child must now come under. The other fact being, it is a felony in the federal No Child Left Behind law for any parent to see what's on their child's test.
You know, it's a felony for a parent to know what is happening to their children.
That's
and
right.
What they're really testing. And the only reason you would do something like that is if you had something to conceal. Why else would you want to conceal it?
That's right. And so as a part of our amendment here in Minnesota, we hear people talking about accountability, how schools have to be accountable. Well, the best way to hold a school accountable is to have the tests released every year to the public. Then the public can know what's on the test. Tests drive curriculum, and that's not a bad thing. Tests should be testing what the children are being taught. So we want to make sure that we have true accountability in our school by releasing the tests every year to the public. And, of course, this is where we're getting a lot of fight, because the national testing companies do not want us to release their tests.
And, of course, well, I'm so glad that you're there and getting the information out. And I think it's wonderful now that you've been able to reach the people up there in Minnesota to let them know that tragedy is here in California. The average individual doesn't know. And I know that you worked with the Maple River Educational Coalition and Alan Quist. Incidentally, for our listeners out there, we carry Alan Quist's excellent book. It's called Fed Ed. That's Fed Ed. It's an easy read, but it brings out the whole plan to destroy faith in God and family and country, and to get our children to embrace this worship of Gaia and the environment, and, you know, just a total change of attitude towards everything traditional as far as America is concerned. So why would we get this with the Republican administration? Well, I won't ask you that unless you want to answer that.
That's sad that happened.
Right.
It really is sad. One thing about Professor Quist's book that you had spoke to so well, he really discusses the national standards. And that's what listeners need to know, is that there are now national standards that all children have to be held accountable to. But as you said, those standards are not necessarily knowledge-based. They're instead political indoctrination, and they focus on a child changing their attitudes, values, and beliefs to be in line with political and economic Marxism.
And, in fact, Marxism, well, that's exactly what they teach in Cuba. That's what they teach in Vietnam. That's what they teach in Korea. And that's what, of course, they're teaching right here in America today, without the knowledge of the parents, because most of them don't even know what the Marxist programs are, and most Americans have never even read the Communist Manifesto or realize we've adopted every basic tenet of that manifesto here in the United States.
And the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto says that we will combine academic education with polytechnical education. And what that means then is that every child is forced to go through a system of vocational education where they are slotted into a career, often beginning in the eighth grade. We are now in the process of putting that into effect in the state of Minnesota, and we're fighting it. But you are also in the process of putting that into effect out in California.
I know. And
I've done a significant amount of research, which I'll be sharing at a forum in about 2 weeks in California.
Well, I would love to hear. Tell us what's happening in California, because I don't think the average parent out here knows. They're not going to get it from their controlled newspapers or most of the controlled television. So what is happening here in California?
Well, and none of this is hidden, Dr. Monteith. This is not a conspiracy in the sense of behind closed doors and hidden. Any listener can go to the World Wide Web, go to the California Education website, and go click on the link that says School to Careers. And you all adopted School to Work or School to Careers, which means all children in the state of California will be having to choose a career, but it isn't the child's choice. The choices are pre-selected by government, local government workforce boards, and it's based upon the industrial needs of the local area.
But what happens if a child wants to be a doctor or a lawyer or they want to go into a profession?
Well, let me give you one example. In Minneapolis, that just happened. This is the first year that all eighth graders have been forced to choose a career and then be slotted into a career path in ninth grade. One girl said, "I want to go into nursing." And she was told, "We don't offer that career path in Minneapolis. You'll have to move to a neighboring city, Richfield, if you want to go into the nursing career path."
What do the parents feel about that? Do parents understand the implications of this? This is a totally managed society. This is the society that they have in Russia. This is the society they have in communist China and in Fidel Castro's Cuba. What do the parents feel about this?
Well, they're up in arms, very upset. That's why Minnesota is the only state out of all 50 states, Minnesota is the only state to challenge our Goals 2000 educational standards. And we are actively working now to get rid of school to work and to change our standards away from being about attitude development, which leads a child toward accepting a Marxist worldview, and back toward basics and an appreciation of our American heritage. Because you know, this was initially promoted for acceptance by all nations through UNESCO. That's the educational and cultural arm of the United Nations.
And of course, basically, this is, do we want to be individuals or do we want to be part of a collective, mm-hmm. part of the commune, as it were, where, of course, the government determines what our future is, where we work, and, of course, our standards of living. And people say that could never happen in America, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, it already has. And right. I think that's what shocks people, Dr. Monteith, because this is not being sold as Marxism. You know, that wouldn't work. The marketing language behind this is really phenomenal. This has been planned for a long time through focus groups, and it's been market tested so that people would buy this and accept it. As a matter of fact, Phyllis Schlafly asked me to write a 2,000-word essay describing this system, and if anyone wants to go to her website, I think it's eagleforum.org, I have my 2,000-word essay that a person can download. They're free to copy it and give it to anyone describing this system. But again, anyone can go to the Workforce Investment Act site for California or the School to Work site, and all of this information is available online.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with Senator Michelle Bachmann. We'll certainly invite your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind you that we, of course, carry several products here. We carry Miracle 2 soap products, and the one thing we can tell you is they're excellent soap. We can't make any claims for them. We will tell you that many of our listeners really enjoy them. We get all sorts of amazing stories from people about how this or that problem has gone away, but all we can do is tell you that you really want to try them yourself. There's a soap, a moisturizing soap, which I've used for well over a year, a gel, a lotion, and a neutralizer, which some people say seems to help them as far as their heartburn is concerned. It's certainly very alkalinizing, but call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for the information on Miracle Soup products, or get yourself an introductory set of these various products. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we suggest that you consider Phenopoly. If you have children in government schools, you ought to get a Phenopoly set so that they can learn how to read and pronounce words and spell phonetically. And, of course, the program is good for children. It's good for young people. It's good for adults. It's good even for old people like me who never got phonetic training. And it will teach you how to begin to break the words up, how to begin to think phonetically. It's actually 5 board games plus 2 bonus games. You actually play them like you do a Monopoly, and it's loads of fun. But more than that, you're learning. And if you get through the first 3 or 4 games, you'll actually be able to read at college level. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask about getting a Phenopoly set, and you can get it right here at Radio Liberty. Have you ever wondered? And, of course, we're going to be back here in just a moment with another announcement. What really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not
cannot think clearly or would respond normally. WACO, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-ROAR right now.
Well, this is Arthur Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Senator Michelle Bachmann from Minneapolis, or from Minnesota, I should say. We have with us Rodney, who's calling from North Carolina. Let me put out that number again. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. That's 888-245-4237. Or 2-4-LIBERTY. So, Rodney, do you have a question or comment there? Rodney?
I talked to you earlier today. I was just calling to say hello to Senator Bachmann.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Great, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to mention you were talking about the Carnegie Endowment.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. That is, of course, that was left by James Carnegie. And also, he was a really good friend to Cecil Rhodes.
Right, Andrew Carnegie, right.
Right, I'm sorry. And, of course, the Carnegie Endowment also has been linked to pro-Soviet linkage with the United States down through the years.
Now, if anybody wants to document that, they can get the book which we've republished, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, actually written in 1958 by Rennie Wormser, who was the counsel for a congressional committee that was asked to investigate the great foundations. What did they find out? They were financing communism and socialism. Rockefeller, Ford, why would they do such a thing? Because they understand there is no communism in Russia. It's an elitist system ruled by the elite, and that's what they want. So anything else you want to say, Rodney?
Oh, no, sir. I just wanted to say that I'm really proud of Senator Bachmann for coming on. I know a lot of politicians kind of shy away from making any type of a really strong, valid statement on the air, and I'm really proud of her for doing that. And I understand. I just wanted to say that I really appreciate all of the work that you've done.
All right. Thank you so very much.
Thank
okay,
you,
fine. Well, let's see. We've got all sorts of lines. Here we've got somebody named Frank. Hi, is this Frank?
Yes.
Hi. Where are you calling from?
Michigan, Dr. Stan.
Okay, Frank. Good to have you with us.
Thank you very much. Thank you for talking to Michelle.
Thank you.
We have our same program here in Michigan. I live out just outside the Detroit area. And along with this program, we have what they call the fish philosophy. And I looked up this fish philosophy, and there's over 3,000 corporations involved in this fish philosophy.
Right.
Do you know anything about this at all?
I don't know what the fish philosophy is.
No, is the fish philosophy, you mean the philosophy that is pushing this workforce development?
Yes, that's
okay,
exactly
fine.
It.
Okay, well, of course, let's ignore the fish part of it. Senator Bachmann, do you know anything about corporations going along with it?
Oh, without a doubt. As a matter of fact, I had someone from the Chamber of Commerce in my office today asking me to support a bill that would encourage this. And so I started to ask this person if they had ever heard of school to work and small learning communities. They hadn't. And so then I gave this person a copy of my essay, and I showed a PowerPoint presentation that I had put together. And she was floored. She was absolutely floored. And I said, you need to take this home, read it, and come back. We'll discuss it some more. She had no idea. And, of course, it's because businesses have had all sorts of people come to work for them, and they can't read, and they can't write, and they can't make change, and I understand why businesses are upset about this. But the answer is not to turn our schools into job training centers for entry-level jobs for whatever's needed in local industry. The answer is educate people with subject matter knowledge.
I don't think that's... Excuse me?
Go ahead, Frank.
Okay. What we have going on in our school is that the whole curriculum is taken over by different corporations, as far as
that's
I'm
right.
concerned.
That's right. As a matter of fact, are you familiar with the Gates Foundation?
No, I'm not.
Bill and Melinda Gates now are offering grants for smaller learning community grants to turn schools into this school-to-work concept of eighth graders being forced to choose careers. As a matter of fact, we had a fellow from the Carolinas on a moment before. South Carolina now slots their children into careers in sixth grade. And you can go to the Workforce Investment Act website for South Carolina. Click on Career Pathways. Pathways to Prosperity is the name of the document. And you'll see that children in South Carolina are being forced into careers in sixth grade.
Okay. One other comment regarding this new brain washing idea. In our school, instead of using, what do you call it, we're using, instead of, what do you call it now, I'm sorry.
Outcome-based education?
Outcomes-based education.
Right.
Well, what I'm saying is that we're using what they call contextual learning.
Yes.
are you familiar with that?
Oh, yes, I am. It's the exact same, they call it authentic learning, and it's another fraud where we're going to, where the schools turn their backs on academics and instead have the children learn through hands-on manipulation, and they're just learning an entry-level job training skill, but no academics.
And so we're deliberately dumbing down our children, Frank, all across America, and this is going to continue until, of course, we get more legislators like Senator Bachman in there who understands what the issues are and will take a stand on it.
And it's all 50 states.
Okay,
well, I appreciate
thanks.
Talking to you.
Thanks so much. We've got George on the line from Canada. Is this George from Canada?
Yes.
Hi.
From Toronto.
Right. Do you have the same problem up there in Canada?
Yes, we do. In fact, there's a friend of mine that I work with, and he occasionally marks tests for high school students. And about 2-3 months ago, he was appalled at the inability of some of these students to put 2 or 3 sentences together. And my question is that we're starting to see up here in Canada, at least in Ontario, the public-private aspect of education.
Public-private partnership.
Yes, and that is what I would like to ask Michelle to comment. Are we deteriorating the public school curriculum in order to promote the private, and where will that leave the general public in the years to come? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. We are promoting what's called the public-private partnership, but essentially this is a partnership between government and private businesses. And anytime you partner with government and private businesses, the dominant partner will always be government. Even if documents don't say that, that will always be the dominant partner. You know, Mussolini pushed this back in World War II. It was a combination of government and private business. That was called fascism.
It was really a corporate socialism, and that's exactly what is being pushed in America today, and the average person has no idea.
They have no idea, but it's very, very real. And also to the caller's comment, Dr. Shirley McCune of the United States Department of Education made this comment, and I'll quote her. She said, "What we're into is the total restructuring of society. What it means for education is that we no longer see the teaching of facts and information as the primary outcome of education." She wasn't shy about the radical goal of school to work. It is the total restructuring of society into a Marxist economic state.
And I really think that's so vitally important that the people have to understand. They say it can't happen here. Ladies and gentlemen, it is happening here. It's already happened here. And, of course, here in California, where we have more Marxists, really, in our state legislature, probably than they have in Moscow today, because over in Russia they know these things don't work. Here in California, they think they do work. And, of course, we have them on our college campuses. We have these people in working in our election department to make sure that the election results will always go along. Right here in Santa Cruz, where I work, we have dedicated Marxists who work with the corporations and companies that are affiliated with the election department. And the average individual, even many of the good people working there, have no idea what's really going on. And so under the guise of democracy, of course, we're losing our freedom. So basically, what can be done, because it sounds to me like you've got a pretty good program going there in Minnesota, what can be done in California, or is it simply going to mean that we're going to have to get enough people there in our state legislature to believe in freedom rather than in these fascist concepts?
Well, of course, that's what you need to do, but the public needs to be made aware of what's going on, and you are doing a tremendous service, Dr. Monteith, just by having a radio show promoting this kind of material. And again, I'm sure that you have materials and resources available. There is Alan Quist's book on Fed Ed, and I had mentioned Phyllis Schlafly's site, eagleforum.org, where anyone can get my essay on this subject that we've been discussing. But I think that we are going to be coming out to California in early February up in the Santa Rosa area on Saturday. I think that's either February 8th or February 9th. And we'll be speaking all day up there for anyone who wants to get this information.
How can people get information on that? I know that Orlene Kula is going to be putting on
this
program. How can people get in touch with somebody and find out how to go to that all-day meeting in Santa Rosa early in February?
Well, there is the Eagle Forum of California website. And I think you just go to Eagle Forum California, or you can go to eagleforum.org and probably click on the link to California, and that will take you to their website. And I know they're signing up people right now for this. And we don't charge any fee to come out. We just have been working as local activists. We're parents who love our children. Like I said, we have five children, and you know, we are doing this because we're concerned about their future. We want them to live as free Americans. We don't want them to be subject to bondage. So that's why we're out trying to spread the word as much as we can. And, you know, in Minnesota, I just started as nobody from nowhere. And I went to my pastor and told him what I had discovered. And I asked if I could speak in our local church. And 300 people came out to hear me the very first night. And that's back in December of 1998. And I've been speaking ever since. And we've gone all across Minnesota, Michael Chapman and myself and Professor Quist and various others, and we've spoken to over 35,000 people in the state of Minnesota. And so we've been able to get a critical mass of American-loving Minnesotans who have stormed the gates of the election box and said, give us freedom. And so now in Minnesota, we're right at the cusp of throwing out these old standards and trying to put in the new. And I would just ask for prayer right now for your listeners, because it could be, all of our work could so easily be co-opted if we don't get a good bill passed. And so I would just ask for prayer, especially in this next week, because this is when we'll see the turn of events.
And of course, as you know so well, that behind all of this effort to destroy freedom in this country are spiritual forces. And of course, it's an eternal battle that's always existed between good and evil. The trouble is, it would appear that, as James Russell Lowell said, evil is on the throne. Today, evil is in a position of power because, of course, God's people, at least here in California, have been totally neutralized by so many people within the church who said, you don't have to be involved. We're going to be raptured out before anything bad happens. Or you don't have to be involved because God's in charge of everything. And, well, God could be in charge. I think he's leaving it up to us for the time being. And, of course, we're not doing a very good job. We're going to be back in just a moment with Michelle Bachman. But right now we're going to have to take a quick break. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon you for doing what we do 5 hours a day, and our weekend program heard on some 35 radio stations or 34 radio stations across America, and of course during the week why we have our programs certainly on four or five different networks, and we do have a voice. It's not a large voice as I wish it were, but it's gradually growing, and with your help and with your prayers, why we hope we can increase our outreach, reaching people with the news behind the news, the story behind the story. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters for a suggested gift of, oh, at least $20 a month, more as much as you can afford, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do. And then we want you to give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, or you'd like a free copy of one of our newsletters if you haven't had one before, our December newsletter goes into the occult background of our monetary system. Our October newsletter tells you what really happened on September 11th, 2001. It's Kristen Breitweiser's testimony before the Senate Select Committee, and amazingly enough, the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post never told you what she said. So we decided to tell you. That's our October newsletter. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and then, of course, we ask you if you'd like to tell others about our website at RadioLiberty.com. Pull down our essays, pull down our newsletters, pull down our programs. You can listen there 3 hours a day. There's our sort of live programs and archive programs. But again, the number 1-800-544-8927. The website, RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest today is Senator Michelle Bachmann, and we're talking about what's going on certainly up there in Minnesota, but this is going on all across America, and most people have no idea. Of course, they're not going to be reading about this in their local newspaper, or people who talk about this will be demonized, and of course, but you see, if we had people going around to our churches, if the churches would put on programs and let people hear the truth, but of course, so many of our people here just don't want to hear it. Churches don't want to take a stand. We've got Steve calling. Steve, where are you calling from?
Wisconsin.
Okay, Steve from Wisconsin. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I'm sure the senator would agree with me right now that we could use a good dose of global warming right now.
It's freezing, isn't it, Steve?
It sure is. Well, you're further north than I am, but I tell you what, I think a penguin would be cold out there tonight.
Okay.
I have a question I'd like to ask the senator. Are you familiar with Charlotte Iserby?
Oh, yes. I was just on the phone with her last week.
Okay. Well, then you're definitely tuned in with a very, very knowledgeable person. And she has a fantastic book. I don't know if you have her book or
yes,
not.
Yes, The Dumbing Down of American Education.
Yes.
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 It's a very good book, very well researched.
Marvelous book, absolutely marvelous book. I know her also. And her website, for some of the listeners out there, I believe is www.dumbingdownamerica.com. It's either .com or .org.
I believe you're right, and I know she was a former employee in the Department of Education, and she saw firsthand at the federal level all of this mischief that was coming about with Goals 2000, school to work, and she was horrified, and she very courageously went out and tried to warn the American public of what was happening, and of course everything that she said has come to pass.
And I think it's really what's so interesting is that this happened 20 years ago during the Reagan administration.
Yes.
My goodness, that conservative administration, and then the first Bush administration, and then the Clinton administration, and then the second Bush administration. But what people don't understand is it really doesn't make a bit of difference whether you got the Republicans or Democrats there in Washington, D.C. The same bureaucracy is there. The same agenda is there. And we've been moving a long time away from freedom towards fascism. Anything else, Steve?
No, I'll pretty much let it go with that. But the thing is, like you said, Doctor, is the thing that was so shocking is that Charlotte, it was under the Reagan administration, is when this stuff really started to get going. So I think in some ways we got snookered under the Reagan administration. I think there's a lot of things that happened that either he wasn't seeing or just had no control over it. And both of you have a good evening. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. We're talking about this whole program of education. And, of course, this is really a deliberate dumbing down of our children. These people know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the parents to know. And so they say, gee, we just need more money. If we just had more money, we had better schools. You know, if we just build us better schools. And look, we just don't have... We've got two bathrooms. We've got 500 girls here. I mean, look at it. It's your fault that we have all these terrible problems. Whereas, of course, they're getting here in California. They have been in the past getting over $9,000 per student per year. And, of course, they've been wasting it on all these programs that they know aren't going to work, that, of course, are aimed not at education, but of changing the attitudes and values and beliefs of our children. And again, let me just mention the book by Professor Alan Quist, Fed Ed. Fed Ed, it's a takeoff on FedEx because it's got it sort of looks like FedEx on the cover, but it really goes into what this is about. It's an easy book to read, available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, these people on the other side know how important education is. They're not going to change your attitudes, but if they can change the belief structure your children, then they control the next generation. They plan far ahead. They know what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. Well, you know, you actually have a great deal of support then in the Republican legislature. Is it a strongly Republican legislator in Minnesota today?
Well, you know, Minnesota is a bastion of liberalism, of leftist politics, and you may be familiar with the Paul Wellstone air crash that occurred just before the election.
Right.
And then, of course, there was a memorial service that turned into a campaign rally. And I think there's probably been very few political events that have occurred in the last 50 years that could match the public's reaction to that political fallout.
Was that when Senator McGovern was going to be running then for Paul Wellstone's position?
Mondale.
Mondale, I'm sorry.
Yes, Mondale was running, and so, of course, the public was very upset when they saw that this, what they thought would be a somber memorial service dedicated to Paul Wellstone, turned into a big yay, rah, rah political event. People went crazy, and they decided they just turned their backs on Democrats, and they went to the polls with vigor and voted for Republicans. So we actually have in Minnesota a Republican governor, Republican senators, Republican just about everything, and the Minnesota State Senate, where I serve, has been under Democratic control for 32 years, and we are now within two votes of being in majority, which is the closest we've ever been. So a big part of that was this vote on education, and parents now want this profile of learning, our radical Goals 2000 answered education. They want it gone, and they want school to work gone. And so the big question is, will we deliver that, or will we get hoodwinked, and will a clone get put in its place? The bill right now puts in a clone, and I have an amendment to give us truly academic education, and that's the prayer, that in this next week I can get my amendment attached to this bill, and the governor would sign it.
Well, now, of course, can you get some of the Democrats to stand with you? Or are they so dedicated to their Marxist concepts that they will not? In other words, there are conservative Democrats at least certain places in the country, but are there any up there
in Minnesota?
Not in Minnesota. All right.
No, we don't have those here. We wish we did. We'd welcome them.
Okay. Well, of course, you know, the trouble is that people really don't understand philosophy. Most people really don't want to be bothered about government. I mean, they go to the polls every 4 years and vote because, well, that's sort of their duty. But, of course, they vote for the candidates somebody else has picked for them. And once the election is over, why, they don't want to give it another thought for another 4 years. There's so many other more interesting things. And yet, of course, it was Chairman Mao who said, you know, power comes out of the muzzle of a gun. If you have the political power. You have the military, you have the police force behind you, and you can force people to do what you want to. And it's because the other side is dedicated to the political process, and the good people really don't want to be bothered about it. They just want to be left alone, that they will not be left alone, and they'll lose their freedom. And the heritage that they received from generations past will not be there to pass on to their children.
That's right. And, you know, Minnesota being the first state in the nation to reject its Goals 2000 standards is actually big news. There's two other states that are thinking about rejecting the federal No Child Left Behind money. That's Vermont and Nebraska. And Nebraska is thinking about saying no because they don't want to do the testing for their kids. But they aren't challenging based on the content, the radical political indoctrination content. We are the only state that is challenging the federal government on this radical indoctrination of the content and the radical indoctrination that comes through the testing. And whether we'll prevail, we'll see. But we at least have a critical mass in Minnesota that knows the score about what's happening in education and is demanding a change.
Well, of course, I think that's a credit to you and to Alan Quist and to the other people in the in your group. You've gotten out, you've reached the people, you've done the talking, you know, and of course, this is so important. We have to find a means of circumventing the major media. Are there any of the major media up there that are giving you an honest coverage?
No, I would say for the first time in 4 years, we had a very positive piece that went into the St. Paul Pioneer Press newspaper saying that this little tiny ragtag organization of real people has succeeded at something no one thought possible. And so we had a wonderful front page story, but that's the first one in 4 years.
Well, I think that that's really a tribute. And, of course, every once in a while, you do get the truth. That's why I read so many newspapers, because you know, they have to print the truth once in a while.
Once in a while.
You have a lot of wonderful reporters out there that I think are trying to do a good job. It's just the problem so often the editors or the owners of the paper of the Fourth Estate have become a fifth column, and that's why we've got so many problems today. But, well, I want to thank you so very much, Senator Brockman. Do you have any parting thoughts for us today?
I do. Don't lose hope and don't give up. Knowledge is worth so much. And if you get some knowledge about what's going on in your local school, go to your teacher and tell your child's teacher you want to see the test. Because you have the right by law to see the test. You may not be able to discuss it, but you need to see what's on it. And from there, organize local parents and do something. It's possible. If one of the most liberal states in the country, who had the most liberal senator in the country, can turn this thing around, any state can.
Well, God bless you for everything you're doing, and I'll ask my listeners to pray for you this coming week.
Yes.
Senator Bachman's on the front lines of this battle, so keep her in your prayers this week and hope that this amendment will become law, and then, of course, it'll be very interesting to see what happens.
We'll keep you up to date. We'll tell you what happens.
Thank you so very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dr. Monteith. Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, there's a very, very courageous lady. And, you know, with five children, I'm sure she's got a lot of other things to do and with a profession and a business. But she has given everything up, really, to pursue this cause of freedom. What are you willing to do? Well, this is the time when, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and for our ministers. We ask you to pray for revival in America, because if the American people don't turn back to God, I can assure you God will turn his back on the American people. And of course, we ask you lastly to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, we will be back with you once again. Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you. Thank you.
very good program.
Well, thank you. I thought it was an excellent program.
Pretty good response.
Yeah, lots of people.
Well, it's
going
to
be
for 2 days.
Okay, how long are you
going to
be gone?
Well, I think it was supposed to be 3 weeks, but it's 24 days now.
24
six days short of a month. Okay. But I show back up, I can't leave on Wednesday, show back up on a Wednesday. So I probably won't make that Wednesday.
Okay, so,
call me. Oh, well, I only work for like 15 minutes, something like that. Thank you.
Thanks. Have a wonderful trip, and you keep safe. And, oh.